we're talking about where somebody stole somebody's land, and then he fenced it. He sold it to a third party. And the third party then went and did improvements to the land. He invested in the land. He added, he planted things, he harvested. And then the original owner wakes up, and or he manages to get the evidence to get the court involved. And the question that we've been dealing with is, what happens to the shvach, to those improvements that the unknowing third party did to the land? Does he get paid back from them? And who pays him back? Is it the thief that stole it and sold it to him has to pay him back for that? Or does the original party that never asked for those improvements, do they have to pay him back? Or does nobody pay him back? Does he lose it? That was the discussion we had. We had two opinions. We tried to prove who was right, and we're going to continue a little bit more on that issue. But the Gemara has a slightly different case here. On Yud Dalet Amud Beis, Tesvav Amud Beis 15b, Hikar Bo She'enu Shelo, until now, he was totally innocent, this buyer. He didn't know that he was being sold stolen goods. But what about if he knew? He knew that what he was buying wasn't legit. He was buying stolen property, and he bought it anyways. So on this, Rav says, Mos yesho shvach ein lo. He can get his money back because he bought land, and the land that he was given wasn't something he could keep. But he's not going to get the improvements that he made. Shmuel says, Afilu mos ein lo. He's not even going to get a refund. He's not going to get his money back. Why? Because he knew it was stolen. But my kamifili, what's the argument? Rav Savar Adam Yodei Shekarko Elo. He says that the person knew that he wasn't going to get land. But so then what was he handing him the money? The gum of a nusin l'shum pekadin. He felt that the other guy needed money badly. And so he said, I'll loan him the money. I let him have it as meanwhile. So I'm expecting it back, because I know sooner or later the original owner is going to go to court and get it back. But meanwhile, I'll be able to just, this is a way to give my friend some money who's in need of the money. He needs the money. I have a name, Elo Shumpakadin. So why don't you just tell him, I'll give you the money. Savalo Mikabel. He figured the guy wouldn't take it. Certain people, they go through a ruse. They go through something strange in order to get money, but everybody knows that they're not getting anything. Shmuel says, Ani Midei Shekarko Einlo. He says the person knew that this guy wasn't the owner of the government, that's the Shumatana. And it's a gift. So then why don't you just give a gift? Why do you have to buy land that he doesn't own and do a fake and then give him the money? Nebele Lushumatana. Tell him just give him a gift. Ksifale, that's embarrassing. So I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, and that's how you can give him a gift. Yeah, here, I'll pay you for the Brooklyn Bridge. And keep the change. So even though you know that he didn't sell you anything, this is a way to give him a money. So the only real question is, this guy who bought knowingly stolen land, is it a temporary loan to the crook, to the one that sold him, or is it a gift? So Morris says, and so we had two opinions. This was argued in a different scenario, didn't Mark? A person proposes to their sister and gives her a very valuable ring, gives her Kesef Kedushin. And they go to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, I got bad news for you. You can't marry your sister. So Rav says, you get the ring back. Most Kosrin, you get your money back. Shmuel says, no. Most Matana, this was a gift to the sister. Let it go. Rav Omer Moschos and Anu Yudei Shen Kedushin Tosi Bechosu. He knew you can't marry your sister. But Gamanos and Shumpakad, you figured your sister needs the money, she'll take it. Venebele Lashumpakad. So just tell her you're giving her money meanwhile. Savale Lombakabu. She won't take it that way. Shmuel says, Mos Matana, it's a total gift. Anu Yudei Shen Kedushin Tosi Bechosu. He knows you can't marry your sister. But Gamanos and Shumatana. Why doesn't he just give her a gift? Because he feels like she's embarrassed. So this is almost the identical case. One is where you're giving a robber, I don't know why you like this robber, you're giving him money for stolen land as either a pekudin to have the money meanwhile, or you're giving it as a total gift. But either way, since you were aware that you weren't going to be able to keep this land, you had in mind a way to give the money. Same thing with the sister. You wanted to give your sister some money, so the only question is, did you mean to give it permanently or temporary? So then why do we need both cases? If we only said the case of the thief, that you only meant to give it to him temporarily, people don't typically give money away to a stranger. I'll give you a loan, but I'm not going to let you keep it. But by sister, maybe he admits to Shmuel. He wants to give his sister a nice ring. If we only said by his Ba'akam or Shmuel. There Shmuel says that he means to give her a gift. Maybe in another case he admits to Rav that it's not a gift, it's just a bekud. So therefore, we need both cases that Rav and Shmuel argue when something is given and under funny circumstances, does he mean to give it as a gift or does it just a temporary loan? It's a little bit hard for us to relate to, I guess. But there are some times where people do things and you know it's really not worth what they're asking and you do it because you want to help the guy out. So it's just like you go through the motions of pretending to save his dignity that he's really doing a business transaction, but you're really just helping him out. That's what you're doing. So bein the Rav, to Omer Bekan, whether it's like Rav who said it's a temporary money. Bein the Shmuel Darma Atana. Hi Araba Maikanokas. So either way, it's still stolen land. So how do you go into stolen land if you knew it's not, we're making this guy sound so innocent that he's just trying to help out his buddy, the thief. But in effect though, if he knew it was stolen, how does he go there? How does he operate on the land until he gets kicked off? So the uperis, and how does he eat the fruits? So the answer is, Savar ana achas l'arav avad ve'echo begavai. He's thinking, right now this other guy's on the land, so I'm going to replace him. Ki hekidahuka avad iuluku. And then when the master comes, the arazuze nahavi. I'll pay for what I ate. You know, when the master comes. But meanwhile, the master isn't here. The real owner of the land isn't here. My friend is, my sister is. The sister isn't in a land case, but he's thinking over here in this case that just like that guy's there, I'll replace him. If the owner's going to want money, I'll pay him. L'Rav domer bekan, according to Rav that it's a bekan, according to Shmuel it's a matana. Omer Rava, how do we hold in all this? It's great because often the Gemara doesn't finish off. The Gemara is in the middle of the study hall. The Gemara is, you have to always view Gemaras like that, that the discussion in the Beis Medrash, and we don't always know what the end, how do they come out in the end? Every now and then you find out. And here we're going to find out. Sometimes you find out, but that was just their conclusion then, but it doesn't mean we hold like that. The Rambam appears to hold like this. Amar Rav Hilchosa Yeshlamos, he says, he can get his money back, v'yeshlo shvach, and he can get his improvements back, v'afo pishlo pirushesha, even if it wasn't committed to that he'd pay him for the improvements, he gets it back. That's where he didn't know. Hikar bo she'enu shelo, what about if he knew when he bought it that he wasn't buying it from the real owner, v'lacha, mos yeshlo, then he will get his money back, shvach enlo. He doesn't get his improvements. If he knew that this was stolen, and he chose to put money into the land, knowing that it was stolen and it was going to be repoed, he ain't going to get it back. Next, what if the scribe forgot to mention that the seller takes responsibility? Achrayas tosofer. It doesn't matter. It just means the scribe goofed. Everybody, if you're selling somebody something with a document, you are taking responsibility. Bein bishtar hava, whether it's a loan, bein shtar, or whether it's a sale.
Shakoni and Biboro. He has a right to compensation from the seller for the money and not for the improvements.
Right.
Like two different people.
No, same person. This guy got it from the seller and he paid him money for stolen land and then he put improvements in stolen land.
So who did he get the money from?
The seller, the one that sold it to him. So the original owner comes and kicks him off. The original owner says, "What are you doing on my land? Get off."
The thief,
yeah. That's exactly it. We're not saying it's a gift. In other words, the halacha is that it was like a loan, not a gift. That's the halacha. Okay, now we get a new case, which just adds to the drama over here. So same case, somewhat. The robber steals land and sells it to someone else. And that guy's making all kinds of improvements. He loves this new piece of land. But meanwhile, the thief knows that sooner or later, the original owner is going to wake up and he's going to kick him out. It's going to be embarrassing to the thief. I stole somebody's stolen land. So, boy, what if the thief decides, you know what, let me offer that guy and buy it from him fair and square. Originally, I sold him something that I didn't own. Let me go and try to buy it from the original offer to save my reputation before this thing explodes. So what happens then? In other words, he first stole the property, he sold it to a third party, and now he wants to go back and buy it from the original owner. So that is the question. So let me tell you what the question is. Can he now kick out the buyer and say, you bought stolen property from me, get out. I'm the real owner now. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? You sold it to me. Yeah, I sold it to you. That time I didn't own it. Now I own it. I'm kicking you out.
So when he wants to buy it from the real owner, the owner doesn't really think he has it anymore, does he?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if it's land, it's in my name. If someone else was selling something that belonged to me, but he had no right to do that, but he figured now somebody's offering him money for it, he'll take it.
So maybe he didn't even know that someone else sold his
land. Could be, yeah, could be. Mm-hmm. Let's see the Rashi on that.
I think that's more common than not, Steve. I don't think people know that somebody stole the property and then stole it. I think people just sell the property stam and the owner never ever knows it.
Maybe. Yeah. Let's see, Rashi. Chayzer gazlin v'locha mibalem harishonu. The robber goes and then buys it from the original owner. And this is after he sold it to a buyer. So mahu lios b'mokim b'alim. Can he now replace the original as if just as if he was someone else, and now all of a sudden he goes to the buyer, you know, what's the matter with you buying stolen goods? Even though he was the one who sold it to him, right? Get off. So do we say that he has the right to do that or not? So Omerle, ma mokor, back to the Gemara, five lines up. Omerle, my mokor l'rishon l'sheni kol skusha tov yado. He says the first opinion quoted is that the original owner sold him all of his rights. And since the original owner could have kicked off the robber, now he can kick off the robber. My time, what's the reason? So Omer, one second. I read that wrong. Let's see Rashi. Omer Le, lo matzi lafkusa, he can't kick out the seller, kesha mocher mochalo, the seller sold him everything, but when he bought it, he only bought it in order to keep it in the hands of the buyer. So basically this, we understood over here, he's selling it to salvage his reputation. So if he decides later that he could care less about it, it's too late. In other words, my mocha rishon l'sheni, he says what did the first guy sell him? He sold him his rights, but he understood that the person bought it to save his reputation for selling stolen goods. My time, what's the reason? He doesn't want to be called a goslin, even though he was a goslin. He doesn't want people to know. He wants a good reputation. So isn't that the same thing? He's not a goslin. He's a good guy. My benayu, ikim benayu. Demise lokeach, if the buyer died. Mandi omer nikolei delikri gazlin. If he's afraid, the guy is going to say, you sold me stolen goods, so we turn to today's page. Hameslo. He died. He's not. Who's there to call him a gazlin? Mandi omer nikolei manusa, that he'd be called an honest guy, bahade bini, with the guy's kids. Nikolei delikri manusa. He wants to be known as an honest guy, that, you sold my dad a bill of goods.
This is happened only at like he's having second thoughts on what he did after the owner died.
Could be, yeah. That's the case, right. In other words, well, I don't know if that's when he had the second thoughts, but meanwhile, now he managed to buy it back to become the owner of the property, but the original guy that bought it from him died. So the question is, would we still say that he only bought it to save his reputation? Is it because he's afraid of the guy he sold it to, or is it just he wants to be known as reliable? That's the clearest name. So Korle Bnei Lokei Gazlan. So aren't the kids going to call him a Gazlan even if the so the Gemara says Elkamei Demes Gazlan? No, I'm talking about if the Gazlan died. My Dominiki Linish Jolodikri Gazlan, if he was worried about his. So now can the Gazlan's kids take away the land? So if the issue is that he didn't want to be called a Gazlan, it's too late for him, Hameslo. So his kids figure, all right, they'll call my dad a Gazlan. Meanwhile, we're going to grab the land. L'man of Nikolaikim Anusan, Hakanam Afgav to Mace, even though he died, people want to keep a good reputation. Nikolaikim Anusan Anusa. So the Gemara said, so, Kori Levnei B'nei Gazlan, aren't they? It's still going to affect the reputation, Eliikim, but now the Yav Matana. If he gives it as a gift, even what happens if you give someone a gift, a stolen gift, and then they find out that he gave us something stolen, we got to give it back. So if the issue is that you'd be considered reliable, this guy, he gives us gifts, he gives us Indian gifts, they get taken back. So we assume he bought it so that the one he gifted it won't have to have it get taken back. But according to the one, the Loneko Gazlan, and he not be called a robber, over here, my Gazlan Aminach, it's not a robber, I gave him a gift, I gave him a stolen gift. So I didn't steal, I just gave him a gift that I didn't have full possession of. So the question really will be afterwards, can we assume that he bought it in order to save his reputation? Are we obligated, are his kids obligated? Those are the questions that we opened up over here with this case. Okay, moving on. Pshita, Zvina, Urta, Viyad, Matana. It's simple. If he sold it, inherited it, or he gave it as a gift, Lav l'ukri kame lokeya kavoy. If before he bought it from the original owner, let's do the Rashi on this. Zvina Ursa, he sold it, inherited it. Im kodem shelokach min abaylim, if before he bought it from the original owner, chozer omocha li'ish acher, levad min arishon, he sold it to somebody else besides the first guy. This guy will sell you the Brooklyn Bridge many, many times. He's selling the same thing multiple times. Oh, harishol, or he bequeathed it to his sons. Oh, yav matana, v'akach locha, and then he buys it. In this case, you see that he's got more than one person over here. This is his Ponzi scheme. He's selling everybody the same investment, and he's not really giving it to them. He can care less, because he sold it to a second guy. In other words, the new question is, what if we see that it's not that this guy all of a sudden became honest? So then, what's the deal when he buys it? Back to the Gemara. So, Pshita Zavna, if he sold it to somebody else, or Urta inherited, or he gave it away, Lav Ukme Kame Lokei Kaboy. Then he's not doing tshuva, he's not trying to buy it for the buyer. Nafule Biyerusha, and if he inherits it, or let's say he had stolen this from his dad or his uncle, and then he inherits it, so then do we say that he can't take it away from the buyer? No, because Memelahi, Valav Iyu Katarucha Basre. He didn't really go to the trouble of getting it. So in those cases, he could take it away from the buyer. Next case. Govo Iyu Bechova. What happened if the person he stole it from owed him money, and he collects it from that person as a debt, to pay the debt? So the question is, do we then say that clearly he's buying it to save his reputation? We're all guessing here, really, right? The question is, can we say that he bought this because he wanted to, like I said, to save his reputation and not have it taken away from the thief? Or it has nothing to do with that. It's just an investment he bought. And if he wants to take it away from his buyer, he could. So that's the question. He collected this land that he sold to someone when he didn't own it. Now he's collected it to pay a debt. Chazina, we see, if he has other land, he could have collected other land. Clearly, he wanted this land back because he wanted to save his reputation and to give it to the buyer. And if not, he's just collecting money. And so then he will want to kick out the buyer. Yaiv Nahale Bamatana. What happens if the guy who had it stolen from him now gifts it to the robber? I see you really want it. I'll give it to you. You can have it already. There are people like that. You know, the guy stole it from him. He's so desperate. Let him keep it. So Rav Acher v'Nechana Amar Tanu Kirusha. It's just like inheritance. Dama Melam. That just happened. And so we don't know whether he actually meant to give it to the buyer or not. V'Chad said no. It's like a sale. The Elav, the Torah for two. Because hadn't he went and gone and begged? He went to the guy. He said, oh, I goofed. I made a mistake. Sold it to someone else. And my reputation is going to be ruined. Please give it to me. Please don't make an issue of this. Lo hava yaivle. He wouldn't have done it. Lacha Torah tzu. Come make it. Take it. Okay. Keep his reputation. Okay. So, ad emesai nichale delekim behemnusa. How long is he worried about his reputation? How long does that... How long do we say that svara? So, Rav Huna ad shasa mada bedin. Unless if he sued, if the guy sues him in court, it's too late to save the Rishon. Kia bar Rav Omer adamate adrachta liyada. If the Beis Din actually sends him the buyer a note that he's going to be kicked off. Rav Papa says adamitin yemeach surasa till they do the countdown till they kick him out. Those are all stages. Basically, those are. His reputation already trash. In other words, we're saying a concept that if somebody sells something stolen and then he perhaps didn't realize it was stolen or didn't realize that it belonged to somebody else, but meanwhile his reputation is on the line, we say that when he buys it, he's really buying it for the buyer because he wants to save his reputation. When would we say that it's too late to save the reputation? And the answer is, we had three views. Either until the one who had it stolen from him goes to court, until the one who had it stolen from him has the court send out a summons, or until the court actually announces that the property is being repoed. Which of the three is the exact date? Rashi, the middle of the page, Ad Emes Yiken Mibalem Arishonim, how long can he buy it that we say, Mishun Dulikin Menusa Laka? When is that? That's as long as the first owners didn't yet repo it. Okay, back to the more. Maskele Rami Bar Chama. Here's the question. Mikti Hailo Keek Ba Mai Koni La Hayara. This buyer, how did he acquire the land? He acquired it with a document. The land said he bought it from the robber. Haishtar Kaspi Alma. It's not worth the paper it's written on. It's a piece of garbage. It's kaspa. It's a piece of clay. So even if if that person then becomes the real owner, he didn't really sell it to him. When he sold it to him, it was stolen. So how does this how does it become the property of the actual buyer if the first sale wasn't good? Even if now he is the owner, how does it become the original buyer's?
He can't retroactively
make it a sale. Because at that time, he didn't own it.
Right.
So, he says that it's like he gives it over to him now. It's almost like the buyer trusted him. I know you're having trouble proving that it's yours, but I trust you that I'll get it. But who anad the lo kovrelei midi? And the buyer was nice and quiet. Because samakalai, toroku maisilei, Gomer Machtule. It's as if the let's see Rashi. Tehe Baminu, Haide Rab Baminu, he trusts him, Sha'omer Lo, Ani Samech Alecha, I trust you, Shetitnino Biyadi, that you will find a way that I can keep it. Gomer Machtule, Lachmi Balari showed him that you then, it's almost like it, when he bought it, he then gifts it or then goes and sends it to the buyer. So it is true the original shtar isn't good, but we're saying it's almost like automatic. When he buys it from the owner to save his reputation, at that moment he's giving it to the buyer.
So Rabbi Stein,
yeah,
when the thief is selling it and he doesn't own it, okay, it's really, you know, it's a problem. But doesn't the thief also really, when he sells it, he's given achrayas, because every star has got to have achrayas.
Yes.
So it's up to him to make it good.
So he's making it good. That's exactly, is that what you're trying to say? That's the svara?
Yeah.
I see. But in truth, he didn't make that sale good. He then went, and bought it so that he wouldn't have repercussions later. So you're saying that might be included in his responsibility. Okay, very good. I hear that svara. That definitely would explain things. So, Meisiv Mar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes has a question on this. Mish Irish, Mish Orish Me'aba. A person wants to borrow money, and he says, do you have money to pay? I'm sorry, somebody wants to buy something, but he doesn't have the money. So he says, no problem, I'm getting a Yerusha for my dad soon. So you can, I'm good on the credit. My Hunter Biden, you know, you can sell it to me, my dad's going to take care of things. So Maisha Machulach, Maisha Talmetsudasi, or let's say you have a trap, and you know that you're going to have food in there, I'll sell it to you now. Lo omaklum. That's dealing in futures. That's not going to work. My she'irish min abba hayom. What about if you know that you're inheriting it today? So machalach. Or my shim tamas, if you actually specify when you're going to get it, dvorav kayyam, then it works. So basically, if you're going to buy something later, you can't give it to him now on the condition that you'll make good. I'm using Steve's svara, right? I sold it to you responsibility. I'll find a way to get it. But this seems to say that I'll find a way to get it is dealing in futures. So Amram Rechama, hi Gavar Vai Chufta. He said, well, you've got your man, you've got your answer. So Amram, a guy, see the man, but I don't see the answer. Lo kakazne dehacha samka daita. In our case, he depends on, he knows the money's coming. Hachalo samka daita. Over here, how do you know the guy's going to make it good? Hachalo samka daita azo toroku maisile. Over here, the guy relies on him that he's going to go to the trouble and find a way to buy it. Ki hekelo nikru gazlana. Because he doesn't want to be called a crook. Hachalo samka daita. Over here, by the inheritance or the catching, he can't rely on it. So,
So isn't Tiyufta usually like a shlug up? A Tiyufta, a Tistayim is a good. A Tiyufta, I think, is like a question on it or something.
I didn't understand it in that sense in this Gemara. Sometimes it's a, where that's the, is he saying, here's the man and here's the question on him. I believe it's like that. There's two different kind of tuftas. There's a big question and there's a small question, but I think he was saying it like that. There is, Rashi doesn't comment on the use of that word here. What does the Yard Scroll say? Here's the man and here's the question, or here's the shlug up, or here's the tufta. Sometimes the Yard Scroll, where the line is. Okay.
Where are you on the page?
We're about 10 lines up. Shoka kamei Rav Abba. They sent in front of Abba Rizvita Omer lo zu einu sricha lifnim. He said to him,
Rav Stein?
Yeah.
The way he says it, so Rav is making a comment, he says, I see a great man, yet I do not see a refutation that befits his greatness. For here in Rav's ruling, the purchaser is confident, but here in the Bryce's case, the purchaser is not confident. So, the use of the word tiyufta is different in this case.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So it is a little new. It's a little nuanced, different here. The way you have to explain it. But okay. So Omar zu enu smicha lifnim. Omar Rava zu lisnicha lifnai lifnim. He said this doesn't need any explanation, and this needs a big explanation. Let's see Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Rashi ein smicha lifnim enu smicha kadesha titzer lachnisa lifnei bnei yeshiva. You don't have to go bring this into the bnei yeshiva. She'ein behem yedei lefarcha. They're not going to know how to explain it. But shuvas agodim. He says in a bad way, I'll tell the guy, this isn't such a good question. This isn't a problem, this issue. Again, our question was the case where the person buys it afterwards, will it be valid to stay in the hands of the robber? Is this a contradiction or not? In dealing in futures. In other words, when I bought it, the fact that you were going to make it good, that was a future. And do we depend, can you say the buyer depends on that or not? You can't deal in something that's not here yet. So how do you say that the buyer, that the original sale goes through because he trusts him? We've said before that you can't, sales don't go through based on trust. They have to go on reality. So do you want to ask that question in the Beis Medrash? Is that a good question? So he says, yeah, you don't need to bother them. Rabbi says, Zu Zriku Lifnai Lifnim. Not only do you got to bother them, you got to take it to the top. That's a great question. Halcha Samka Daita. In our case,
they're not allowing that to be a tannoi. That's kind of what
do we is. Accept that concept that the original sale works because the buyer really trusts the guy who sold it to him to fix it.
All right, but why wouldn't that be just a condition of the sale?
It is, but it's a future thing. Is it something that he really depends on that makes it a good transaction, or it's pie in the sky? That's really the question. And in these other cases, we say it's pie in the sky. It doesn't work, and here we're saying it does. So is that a question?
Rabbi Stein?
Yeah.
You're saying that Lifnim and Lifnai Lifnim refers to the discussion within the Beis Medrash?
Correct. Is that what you're talking about? Does this statement consistent? This statement that the original sale that where he relies that the seller in the future will make it right and therefore it's good, is that a contradiction to the concept that you can't we don't say a person relies on another person for futures? So is that a question? Is that a good question or is that not a good question?
But the case here is where the Goslin wants to legitimize his past actions.
Correct.
So that's a very interesting metaphor. So here he's done a sin, and he's going not just lifnim but lifnai lifnim. It's like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur going.
Yes. The Gemara is joking. Right. From the Rashi, we saw that this wording, there's a few different ways to take it. Does it mean it's not a good question, or they're not going to know the answer to the question, Rashi seemed to say. And so the answer is, no, it's got a great answer. That this is very different. People are very worried about their reputation. They'll go through hoops to make sure that when they gave their word, they're going to make sure it happens. There are people that that do things and they assume that they'll fix it later. So that's really the question here. Have umda pamtisa v'usve. And there was a case, they asked a question from this Mishnah that he didn't rely on. So Amar Rav Yosef, zu enu smicha lifni. But you don't have to, it's not really a question from our Mishnah that you don't rely on futures. This is different. He's worried about his reputation. Amar Le Abai, no, you do need livnai uvni. There is a good answer, whereas here he relies on the guy. There it doesn't have to do with relying. The guy's trying to sell what he's going to catch today or he's going to catch in general. That's futures.
If he relies, that means that it takes it out of the future problem?
Correct. If he relies, then it's viable. Then he really... So the buyer relies on him. I can trust this guy. I know he's going to make it good. Whereas just in general, whatever this guy gets, that's not something tangible. That's different. So, haka lo samka da. Umayshner, what's the difference in the two cases? Omi a seifa, my she'irish me'aba hayom, mishum kavid avim. Oma, mishta tal mitzvah, asa hayom, and whatever I can, mishum kadei chayef. The question is, let's go back to the other cases. There's three cases here. One is he sells something he doesn't own, but he promises he'll make it good, he'll find a way to own it. That's our case. The other case is either he sells what he'll inherit or he sells what he'll trap. And so when he does it in a general way, it's no good. But when he says the word hayom, it is good. What's the difference whether he said hayom or not? And so we're saying that when he says today, it is good because let's see, Rashi, Mishum Kavadav, he wants to show respect to his dad, Sher Aviv Gosis. His father's on his deathbed. Visarik Moslik Furaso. I love Rashi here. You need a little, you need to know the case. Why is it that he's saying it's showing respect to his father? His father's dying, but he needs money to bury him, and he needs to buy the shreds and the shrouds and all the other stuff. So Muzil covered up him, show the show. He doesn't want to wait till the father dies. And so he's buying it and saying, I'll have money to pay you after the father dies. I'll have the estate. And so then if he uses the word today, so the funeral people can depend on that promise to pay for the, or the other case where he needs food, he's just buying food, so then that works. Next, Omer Avuna Omer Rava. Omer L'chaveru Sada Shani Lokeach. So we're on the subject of futures. So if a person says, the field that I buy, after I buy it, I'll give it to you. Can I do that? I'm going to buy it, but it'll be yours from now. Omer Rav Misasa B'sada Stab. That's a general field. I'm a Sada Zoo. But if you say a specific field, me, Yemer, Desnavet, how do you know you're going to get it? You have no guarantee. You can say, I'll buy something, it'll be for you. But how do you know for sure that you'll get this field? Alokim Araf, Ilibasadazu, even this field. You know what they say, anything has its price, right? I'll find a way to get it. Mikti, Rav, who's he going like? Rameir, Dovna Makan Dabashulabolam, you can make a kidney on something that's not here. Ditanya, we learned, Omerlishis Kachili Lachashis Gayer. You're a person's non-Jewish. And he tells the woman, here's my ring. Now, I'm not Jewish, but after I convert, I'll be married to you. After you convert. Until after I'm a slave, after I'm freed, then you'll be married to me. Or after I free you, you get free. I'll marry you after your husband dies. I bet the husband doesn't appreciate that. Or after you get chalitza. I can't marry, I'm married to your sister. After your sister dies, then I'll be enu mekudeshes. These are all futures, they don't work. Rav Meir says, no problem, mekudeshes. It does work when it happens. V'hai isha kasada zu dabi.
And it works going backwards to when they made the statement?
Correct. That's right.
Amazing.
So the only thing is people say the money, the ring has to still be there. In other words, if the kess of kedushin is still here, then when it takes place,
it
happens.
Got it.
And the woman is like this field. You didn't say any woman, you said this woman. And Rav Meir says it works. So Rav Meir says of futures, even when it's very specific futures, that'll happen.
This is exactly the condition I was thinking about in my head was on Kedushin.
Yeah. Oba Shmuel, Hamotzei Shenarach Nabashuk. He says, if you find these documents in the street, Yaksil Abam. This is really ultimately our subject, as we're finally getting back to, is when you find these lost documents, so give it back to the owner. Dimashum Ksiv Lilvasolo Lava. Maybe we're afraid that he intended to borrow, but it never borrowed it. And so you can't give it back to the lender. The more said Hashiba Nafshe. This is a Shnari Akna, which means that he committed himself to paying it, even if he never borrowed. Maybe it was already paid up. Lo chashinu leperoin. We don't assume that people, we don't have to suspect that it was paid up. Why? Now we finally have the swara. The im isa de para, because had he paid it up, mikri havi karile, he would have torn it up. When you pay up an IOU, you tear up the loan documents. Why would anybody leave them? If they're here, we can assume it wasn't paid. Rav Nachman, Abba min Safin didayne de Mar Shmuel havi. His father was one of the scribes of Mar Shmuel, Vahavi kabar shish kabar sheva. And I remember I was 6 or 7 years old. It's great testimony. This kid was a sharp kid. He says, I remember I was about 6 or 7. V'dakira dahavi makrizi. I remember that they made the announcements in the court, and they said, Hari hani shtarek nista de mishaka b'shuk. If you find any of these documents in the marketplace in Adoy, give them back to the owners. So I remember that they said that's the halacha. I don't know if there was a certain place where they wrote documents, and sometimes a person would leave them there. You know, the common one is the ksuva. You know, when they get married, it's like real important. He gives the ksuva, and then she gives it to the mother-in-law. And then everybody's, you know, they break the glass and everybody's dancing and this and that. Where'd they put the ksuva? You know, who'd they give it to? Those moments are so, like, hectic. So where'd it go? You know, so the guy's in the marketplace, he writes the document. Who has the papers? You know, who put it there? So a good rabbi will designate somebody, you know, they'll make sure they'll give it to a third party and say, here, you know, hold on to this. Yes.
What's interesting is that there are many times you have in Gemara and elsewhere that as time goes on in Jewish history, the rabbis get more pessimistic. So they say in the earlier times, things were a little more pristine, and then as times went on, people were not trustworthy, and so they changed their ways. So here we have someone who's testifying to him when he was 6 or 7 years old. They went a certain way, and then that's taken as testimony for a later time in history, where maybe later in time in history, people weren't honest anymore, and if they found these documents in the street, they were nefarious. So it's interesting that they're taking that testimony and not saying, you know, things possibly have changed. I gather from this Gemara that things did change over time, which is why the Gemara is so concerned about how to handle these cases, because they obviously happen.
Right. But it seems like we're not worried that it's a forgery. We just want to know maybe it was paid. And if we give it to the lender, we might be messing up the buyer. So that being that was our question. So the question was, how did they accept the testimony? He's testifying, I remember when I was 6 or 7, this is what they said. Did they accept based on that? The Gemara doesn't tell us that they accepted it 100%. Maybe it was just like, it was like useful information. It was, I don't know. But yeah, that is interesting.
I have a question. So who's the owner of a document, a purchaser or a seller? Who's the Mara?
Well, it depends. If he paid up, already, then it would be given to the purchase. Well, here we're talking about a loan. It's a loan document. So you mean the lender or the borrower?
We don't know if it was paid or not paid at this point.
Correct. That's right. No, we don't.
So who do we know is the owner of the document?
That's exactly the question. So the owner here would be the lender. When he said you give it back to the owner, it means the lender. Omer Avam Afanan, we call Maisa Bezdin Harez Yaxer. As long as it's an official document, you give it back. Amalo Kashin Lepro, we don't assume it was paid up and that it belongs to the borrower. Omele Ruzera Mastisa Mishtar Chalatov Adrakta, he said, no proof. When we're talking about giving back documents, we're talking about other kinds of documents, the labanate that aren't paid up. Things that are paid, you've got to be careful. Aren't these documents paid? These documents can be reviewed. You can always review these documents and have them paid off, so to speak, or reviewed. The reason why you give them back is if, in fact, it was paid, it's tough luck on the borrower. To be in the para, because when it was paid, he boil a mikra l'shtar. You should have torn it up. So it could have happened, but it's your own fault. You know, every person knows that if you pay up an IOU, it tear up the document. Or, inami l'mikta shtar krinela, can you write a new document? To be dina arra lo boil a mahadar. Really, you're not required. Meshuma sisa yasha tobe ne Hashem dom rabbanon tahadar to do the right thing. Hilchak. Therefore, mereisha huda kazavin iboilim. You know what? I'll stop here. I was going to just squeeze in those last lines, but we'll try to start again from the middle of the page. So again, we're talking about finding these lost documents, which ones go back and which ones don't, and when is it that you do the, what's called doing the proper thing over here? Can we assume that, are we helping the lender? Are we helping the borrower? What's the way to go? Okay.
Have a great Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos, everybody.